Thank you. Begin our service this evening. It is a service of the gathering darkness. We will begin with our first hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. All of the hymns are printed in the bulletin. Rise then to hear the words of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson is the last of the servant songs. We read it responsively, and in this servant song there is a back and forth between the Lord and the prophet, between the Lord and the people, between the prophet and the people. And that's reflected in the way that we read responsively. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. As many were astonished at you, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. Who has believed what they heard from us? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He was despised and rejected by men. And as one from whom men hide their faces, Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many. Because he poured out his soul to death. Yet he bore the sin of many. You may be seated.
The epistle is from Hebrews, the 13th chapter. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. From the Gospel according to Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 23. But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of the women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountain, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
together our tithes and offerings. Rise for our next reading.
Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews.
Thank you.
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Entering the human race, taking human flesh, and what went along with that was cruelty, suffering, bloodshed. It happened so quickly with the sons of Adam and Eve. Only one generation. It happened so quickly after Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. Crucifixion was just another act of human cruelty like so many others. We have collectively become very good at that kind of thing. Finding someone weaker, someone helpless, inflicting pain. So it may seem like an odd thing to say, they do not know what they are doing. But actually it's true. We have not known what we are doing for a very, very long time. Ever since that first bite of the fruit. But this is the work of salvation. The one the soldiers had in their hands is the Lord of life, and actually it is the Lord of Sabaoth, which means Lord of angel armies, who had them in his hands, and they are sinners in the hands of God, driving nails into those hands, and as they are doing this, he is doing the work of salvation, bringing mercy and giving forgiveness. And of course, it's not only them. This is us. Our sin, our guilt, our rebellion, our cruelty. We need those hands because they are the hands of God and the hands which bring mercy and deliver us from ourselves. Christ's blood is upon us also. And we are guilty of the death of the Son of God. But Christ is the willing sacrifice. And by the words of this prayer, everything is changed. Jesus is the sacrifice who prays for the soldiers with blood on their hands. And prays the same prayer for us. Father, forgive them. Amen. We rise. O Jesus, by your cross, by the nails that wounded you, by your persecution at the hands of sinners, by your prayer for our forgiveness, by your deep compassion on all who wronged you, O Jesus, King of kings and Prince of peace, deliver us from evil. Amen. The second word from the cross.
One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justify justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Thank you.
Today you will be with me in paradise. And Jesus comes to be with us, to keep company with sinners, and in being with us to bring life and salvation. He does this right in the face of death and hell. The thief on the cross was under the judgment of God, and he knew it. Do you not fear God, since we are under the same sentence, and we rightly so, for we deserve what we are getting? Before God and the world, he proclaims, I am a sinner deserving death and hell. And this is what we do, Sunday after Sunday, when we confess. He embraces the judgment of God as right and true, and he prays, Jesus, remember me. It's a simple prayer, and Jesus opens up eternal life. Today you shall be with me in paradise. And this also is our experience. We confess, and we are forgiven. Now think about the surprise. He has been wandering in his life farther and farther from God, getting into more and more trouble, this thief on the cross, and finally into a sentence of death. And now he's waiting for the final breath and then condemnation from God and an eternity in hell. But he does not know what God has been all about, bringing him to this moment with the Son of God next to him. And the Son of God praying for the forgiveness of sinners. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then suddenly forgiveness, suddenly salvation, suddenly death and hell are pushed aside. Suddenly there is the promise of heaven and eternal life. The fellowship with God is restored. The separation is undone. He is known by Jesus, connected with God. Now Jesus is his good shepherd, shepherding him through death and into life. We rise. O Jesus, Savior and Lord, by the shame and mocking you endured, by your compassion on every lost sinner, by your paying of redemption's price, by your promise to the condemned suffering by your side, by your setting the sinner free, and by your faithfulness, assuring and comforting our hearts, O Jesus, shepherd of our souls, deliver us from evil. Amen. The third word. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. You may be seated. We sing. woman, behold your son, behold your mother. Jesus is connected into the human family first because he is actually connected with mother and brothers and sisters, and then because he is connected in his friendships with his disciples and with all who are his. But this relationship, it comes with a cross, and suffering and death. And Jesus knew this very well as he stood outside Lazarus' tomb. This now is the prophecy of Simeon. When Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple, he said to her, "A sword will pierce your own soul." This is it. Earlier in the week, he had answered one of his disciples' questions with, "No one shall give up parents or fields or homes without receiving 100-fold in this life and in the age to come eternal life." And now Mary must. It is time for her to give up her son. The earthly child she gave birth to and nursed and raised, and when he was 12 years old, searched Jerusalem for him. But as she gives him up, she is going to receive him back as the Heavenly One, the Savior of the world, Lord of lords and King of kings. Once again, it will take 3 days in Jerusalem to find him. But find him she will. And with the dawn of Easter will come the dawning, the understanding of who this child is. He is the Christ, the Savior of the world, and our brother. We rise. Lord Jesus, by your humble birth, by your sharing our flesh, by your tender love for your mother, by your bearing our burdens, by your sharing our sorrows, by your calling us your own brothers, sisters, and friends, and by the promise of your eternal fellowship, O Jesus, Son of God, Emmanuel, deliver us from evil. Amen. The fourth word. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." You may be seated. We sing. Thank you. my God, why have you forsaken me? So Jesus makes himself ours all the way to being forsaken, all the way to taking our sins and being judged, all the way to being condemned and separated from his eternal Father. He will be with, and he will stay with us through everything and anything. And in bringing us through judgment, he carries us into the blessings. In bringing us through death, he carries us into his eternal life. It's hidden there. Our life in the death of Christ, our forgiveness in his condemnation, our heaven within his suffering of our hell. And Jesus takes our place and stands with us under the full measure of the Father's wrath, and we are set free. The judgment was real. The Father's wrath was real. The cross and death were real. But it is God's wisdom to save us by the weakness of the cross, to make us wise by the foolishness of the cross. The irony is striking. I should be condemned. I should be forsaken and under judgment. I should be forsaken and separated from the Father. What is my Lord doing there? What is he doing praying that prayer? What is the innocent Son of God, the spotless Lamb of God, doing on the cross? Well, he is there in my place. He is winning salvation for me. He is there in your place with all your sins on him. He is there presenting himself before the Father so the judgment of the whole world can be carried out in his flesh. He is there as the sacrifice. And this moment was known, and it was planned from the foundation of the world. It was told to Adam and Eve. It was acted out in the Passover in Egypt. It was spoken of by John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We rise. O Jesus, dearest Savior, by your deep spiritual agony, by your aloneness, by the darkness you endured, by your draining the cup of the Father's wrath, by your suffering forsakenness in our place, by your words of prayer from the cross, and by your deep faith to say, my God, even when being condemned, O Jesus, Lamb of God, light of the world, deliver us from evil. Amen. The fifth word. You may be you may not be seated.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth.
Amen.
I thirst. This is the most basic of the needs of physical, material human beings. Without water, we die pretty quickly. When we are in distress, doctors and nurses may pay close attention to fluid replacement. And with the loss of blood comes thirst. The Creator of all, the Creator of the rivers and seas, how is it that He should know thirst? And how should He ask the very human creatures He made to give Him a drink? He humbles Himself in order to bring us into His glory. He weakens Himself in order to be our Savior, strong to save. And in the middle of the greatest conflict, our Lord Jesus, suffering for all sinners everywhere, His simple little words appear. Consider how far He had to stoop down in order to say these words. The Creator of heaven and earth, to whom we pray and from whose hand we seek every blessing, has made Himself a creature and now despised and rejected and hanging on the tree of the cross, He has to beg for a drink. He is our brother. He is our flesh, conceived and born so that He could carry our flesh to the cross. As He thirsts, we can know He shares the full measure of our poverty and our need. He is true man, born of the Virgin Mary, who has purchased and won me, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood and with His innocent sufferings and death. Remember what He said in Samaria, sitting by the well. The water that I will give you will become in you a river of living water springing up to eternal life. He sees our needs, spiritual and physical, and He is able to satisfy. If He had never taken our flesh on Him, He would not thirst or need to be given a drink. But if He had never taken our flesh on Him, He would not be giving us the water of life through His words. And these simple words from the cross, they call us to Christ and they teach us faith and salvation and they teach us to know Jesus as our brother. We rise. O Jesus, King of kings, by all that You suffered in our place, by Your thirst, by Your agony and bloody sweat, by Your wounds and stripes, by Your thorn-encircled brow, by the nails and spear, by Your cross and passion, and by the living water that You give, Your precious death and burial. O Jesus, Lord of glory, deliver us from evil. Amen. The sixth word. When Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished," and He bowed His head. You may be seated. And we sing. It is finished. How many have worked so hard? How many have worked to win salvation? How many have worked to find God? How many have worked to earn eternal life? And then have ended up with only despair and doubt and uncertainty. Jesus says, "It is finished." In the Greek, tetelestai. It is finished, and so begins Christianity. How strange a beginning. It is finished, completed, and done, and we receive the whole thing as a gift. And Christianity is not any normal religion, because a religion involves doing things for salvation. What we have instead is a faith that rejoices in the finished work of God. It is finished. These are words to build your whole faith on. The price for sin has been paid in full. The thundering wrath is gone. The Father's heart is turned in love. And life and peace are sealed up and promised. It is finished. What is finished? Salvation, forgiveness, heaven, eternal life, joys and blessings, too many to count. All of these are yours. The gift is finished. Questions and doubts and have I done enough and is God pleased with me? No, it is finished. It is finished and the Father's heart has been turned to us in love. God promised. He promised to send a Savior and He has. It is finished. The book of prophecy, it is completed in Jesus. The one the prophets looked to, He has come and He has finished His work. It is finished. The Father then is pleased. All of our sin has been removed by Jesus, and all of His righteousness and holiness is counted ours and given to us. It is finished. The law has been fulfilled in His flesh. It is finished. The sacrifice has been made. It is finished. The cup of wrath has been drained to the last. It is finished. It is emptied. The torment of the cross, it is finished. God's grace, His blessings, His riches, all are yours. It is finished. And we are called to a full and complete salvation. That we didn't earn. That we simply come and rest in His love. The wandering begun by Adam and Eve. It's finished. The separation. It is finished and we are called home. And Jesus says, "Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It is finished. We rise. O Jesus, by Your words it is finished, by their promise and great comfort, by Your completing all that is needed for our salvation, by the price paid in full, by the promise of life and heaven eternal and free, by Your taking away all of the wrath, and by Your victory over all the forces of evil, O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, deliver us from evil. Amen. the seventh word. From about the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances, and the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. You may be seated. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And so Jesus enters into death. He who has life in himself and he who is the way and the truth and the life, he enters into death. He allows himself to be swallowed up by death, but it cannot contain him. Death swallows up one who is much greater, much more powerful. It cannot digest him. And when he enters death, death is undone. Jesus is the death of death. He is hell's destruction. He is the accuser of the accuser. By suffering, Christ defeats his foes. By dying, he destroys death. By losing, he wins. The devil had in mind that Christ himself should be dead and in hell. Well, first he gets Jesus being dead. And then he gets Jesus in hell. But it is a victorious Jesus coming to announce his triumph. How quickly the whole thing begins to turn around. But it's kept secret. The disciples must wait until the third day. All has been done, the sacrifice complete, the suffering over. Our Lord faces the final enemy, death, and even this he does for our comfort and blessing. You hear how Jesus teaches us how to commend ourselves into the Father's hand, whether at the end of the day or at the end of this life. "For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me." That was learned from Jesus. He commends his spirit into his Father's hands. He goes through death before us. He is the forerunner, the pioneer. He faces what we shall have to face, and he conquers. Now we have his assurance. Once more, he will never leave us or forsake us. He will be with us until the end of the age and all through our whole life. And when the time comes and we are on our deathbed, he will be there. The Good Shepherd, guarding, keeping, watching, carrying us, bringing us through, bringing us into life. We rise. Lord Jesus, because you have gone through death for us, because you have broken its power so that it can never hold those who are yours, because you are our friend and shepherd and will welcome us home, through your victorious death and glorious resurrection, and through the grace and life of that first Easter morning, O Jesus, the way and the truth and the life, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We sing. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and saw the tomb, and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. On the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. We sing the third verse of How Great Thou Art.